talking about that today. And because God desires you to be whole in every area of your life. No leaks. No leaks. Amen? Galatians 5:1, what does Paul say? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us what? Free. Aren't you glad to be an American? Man, aren't you glad? Yeah, I can give God a hand for that. I'm glad. I'm proud. What was it? What's the guy's name? Green. So I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. Amen. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of what? Of bondage. Hold up your Bibles this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to somebody, give them a high five and say, I'm free. How about you? Wow. Amen. You know, as Christians, we don't just celebrate freedom once a year, but we celebrate freedom every day. God desires us to live in the freedom of His grace and of His love. God desires for us to be emotionally whole, that we're not living off of our feelings. And it's really amazing when people come into Pentecostal or the experience of the Spirit. So many times their emotions get so involved in that, and they begin to live off of their emotions instead of off of God's word and the Spirit. You know, a lot of times we'll say things like, I felt this, or I felt that, or, you know, I felt the Spirit tell me this, or I felt the Spirit. Really, folks, when you're in the Spirit, life comes naturally. Life should flow out of you naturally. It's not a real feeling thing. It's just I'm living in the Spirit. I'm in Christ Jesus. Therefore, life comes out of me naturally. Direction comes out of me naturally. Why? Because I'm in the Spirit. Amen? I don't have to be an emotional wreck going somewhere looking for an accident. God didn't want you living out of your emotions like that. God wants you intact in your emotions. If you're living out of your emotions, you're going to be all over the place. You're going to be here, there, that, this one, that one. God doesn't want you. An orphan's heart is so secure in the Father's love. An orphan's heart is not secure in the Father's love, but a son is secure in the Father's love. He is so secure. A son and daughter, they are so secure in God's love for them. And orphans just drifting around out there somewhere, out of security. And God desires, there's so many emotional damaged people in the body of Christ. And God desires to bring healing to that heart. And so much of it is that orphan spirit, because they haven't really experienced what God has intended for them to experience in His grace and unconditional love. Oh, good preaching, Pastor. So instead of experiencing freedom, they're really experiencing bondage. And God, you know, God desires us to worship Him not out of our emotions, but out of the Spirit. Jesus said He's seeking such. He said, I'm looking for somebody that is going to worship me out of the Spirit and out of the Word. There is the answer, the Spirit and the truth, the Word. They go hand in hand. And God is looking for people, but so many times. Now, I was raised in a very emotional Pentecostal church. Anybody else here besides Pastor? You know, well, I come into the knowledge of Christ and the Church of Christ, and of course, you know, there's no music there, nothing. But then when we went over to the other place, and Christ found me and gave my heart to the Lord, it was all based on emotions. Everything was based on, you know, God really moved today, didn't He? Because the pastor didn't preach. Anybody ever heard that before? God really moved. Pastor didn't preach today. Woo! Man, you know, and somebody get up and shout around here and shout around there and dance around there, and everybody get excited and clap their hands. Then they all start dancing, all start shouting, all start singing, all start falling out all over the place. didn't have a message today, but God moved. And it was based so much on emotions. You know, and there's nothing wrong with emotions. God gave us those emotions, but those emotions need to be in check with the Spirit and the Word. You know, I always watch, you ever watch Andrew Womack when he worships? Andrew's real exciting, isn't he? You know, I like to, you know, Paul said, you know, be imitators of Christ, and how he was talking about that. I was watching Andrew one day and just observing him, how he worships, and Andrew just kind of stands there and raises his hand, and he's excited. He'll have to tell you he's excited, but he's excited, you know. But, you know, and I was thinking about, you know, the understanding that Andrew has of grace and God's love and what's already been accomplished. When you know what's already been accomplished, you worship in such a, what, peacefulness, a rest. Amen. And God desires that as we are emotional people, that those emotions come under the control of the Spirit and the Word. Because what happens, we make decisions off of our feelings instead of off of what the Word has said. Oh, come on, somebody. Thanks, Bobby. I appreciate that. Amen. Bobby's over there. Amen, Pastor. Amen. You know, we make decisions off of our emotions. And so a lot of people blame it on the Spirit. And the Spirit had nothing to do with it. Hello? So we want to make sure that as believers, as sons and daughters, that we're walking in the wholeness of all God has for us. Don't make a decision based on your emotions. And I hear people tell me, oh, well, God told me to go there. Oh, hold on a second. No, God told me here. Nope, God told me there. Nope, God told me there. You know, God's not confused. Oh, I'm preaching a lot better than you. Amen. God is not, turn to somebody. In fact, God is not the author of confusion. Amen. You know, a son has such security. He knows who he is in Christ. He knows he is led by the Father every moment, every waking day. He's under the Father's care. Amen. An orphan's just drifting around out there somewhere, you know, trying to say, whoa, what's going on? Where do I need to go? What's happening? Amen. But a son and daughter, they're at rest in God. They know when they wake up in the morning, they're in God's security of his grace. They know God's going to lead them that day. Amen. Because God's got nothing but what? Good in store for them. Amen. The Father's love is there. They don't have to get excited. They don't have to get emotionally distraught. The only thing they do is just rest in what God has given them. Turn to somebody and say, that's a good word. Amen. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. Thank you all. Amen. So as Christians, you know, Paul was saying here, we are free in Christ. We have a freedom in Jesus Christ. And he's talking to the Galatians because the Galatians were wanting to go back under to bondage again. The Judaizers came in. They started teaching the law. And they thought, wow, this is really good. You know, I remember that based on performance. And I remember everything about that, you know. But as believers, amen, it's not based on performance. It's based on his performance. Amen. And so they were wanting to go back into that. An orphan knows very little about freedom. Very little. Many boast of freedom but are limited by the chains of the past. God doesn't want you living in the past. He's taking care of the past. Your past is gone. Only thing you have right now is a bright future. Your past has been covered by the blood of Jesus. In fact, it's been eliminated by the blood of Jesus. Amen. You don't have to be struggling with your past, your relationships, a divorce, any of those things that are causing you emotional damage. God has already provided the healing. It's already done. It's already there. You just have to open up your heart and mind and receive it. Already done. Already finished. Hallelujah. Don't be struggling about your past mistakes, your past failures, what went on. Because all of that, oh my gosh, you get so caught up in those things. And you'll miss everything God has for you. You know, I heard a story about an elephant one time, and a guy was going out, and he saw this huge elephant, and this elephant just had a little rope and had around his ankle with a little bracket and was tied to a little stake. And he asked the guy, he said, "Hey man, how come that, you know, that elephant could just break free at all times? Why is it, what's that going on? What's happening with him?" And he said, "Oh," he said, "listen," he said, "as soon as our elephants are born, we take a stake, we drive it in the ground, and it's very sturdy." And he says, "That elephant can't go anywhere." And he's taught that, and he's just in his surroundings. And that's the way a lot of Christians are. They're just in their surroundings, but God has already set them free, and they don't even realize it. God has set you free. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, "God has set me free." Amen. So, you know, an orphan has a slave mentality. An orphan has a slave mentality. They're bound to their past. They're limited by having no parents to guide them or love. They rebel many times against instruction. They're isolated. They have no heritage. They have no home. They own nothing. And they begin to think and live like slaves instead of sons and daughters. God doesn't want you living like a slave. They have no understanding of true freedom. Amen. They have no real connection with God as a loving father. They see God as a taskmaster. They have no sense of belonging or a heritage. But the good news, Jesus has come to free us from all of that. Amen. He's come to make us sons and daughters. Amen. And Paul gives us some great insight about living in our freedom of grace in that book of Galatians. We're going to talk about it and look back to it in just a moment. You know, a lot of times orphans are acting and are without a father, of course. They were used to performance, and they wanted to go back under the law, back into bondage. And Paul was writing to say, no, Christ has come to free you from the law, to free and heal your emotions, so you won't have to go back into that place and drift back there and be bound up again. And that's what Paul was saying. I want you to turn to Galatians 4:3. Look at this, Galatians 4:3. Paul's writing this whole book on the premise of they are wanting to go back into slavery, they're wanting to go back into bondage, they don't want to experience their freedom, that Christ died for them. And I tell you, I don't know about you, but I want to experience everything God has for me. How about you? I want everything God has for this boy. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Look at this. Even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to what? Redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as what? As sons. Christ came to redeem us out from under that bondage so that we might receive the adoption of sons and daughters. Full adoption into the family of God. Hallelujah. And because you are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying what? Abba, daddy, daddy, hallelujah, daddy, father, amen. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but what? Turn to somebody and say, I'm not addicted to anything but Jesus. Make that your confession. I'm not addicted to Krispy Kreme donuts. I'm not addicted to anything but Jesus. That's who I am addicted to. Amen? That's what Paul is saying. We're addicted to Jesus Christ. Amen? He said we're no longer a slave. We're no longer under a taskmaster. Amen? We've been set free by Jesus Christ. They were wanting to go back under that bondage, under that law again. Listen to go on down. And an heir of God, through Christ. But then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are what? Known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be where? In bondage. Turn to somebody and say, God doesn't want you there. God doesn't want you to be in emotional bondage. He doesn't want you to be an emotional wreck. He wants you to be so solid in your thinking. He wants you to be thinking good. God's got good for me. People aren't out to get me. Amen. They're out to bless me. Oh, I need to say that again. People aren't out to get me. They're out to bless me. Amen. I receive the blessing of the Lord because I know God's got good for me. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. I'm working and operating in the security of the Spirit and the Word. Remember the Old Testament? How many remember OT? We don't teach a lot out. How many remember OT? OT. Old Testament. OT, right? OT, right? You know what they kept wanting? God brought them out with signs and wonders and miracles. Parted the Red Sea. Shh. They come. They get walking through the Red Sea. Man, took care of the Pharaoh's army, went back. God was leading them, pillar of fire, cloud. God was feeding them manna, angel food. Hello? God was giving them water out of the rock, which was Jesus Christ. You know what they did all the time? What'd they do? You know why? And what did they want? They wanted to keep going back to Egypt. You know, some of our old habits are hard to break. When we come into Christ, we are a new creation. The Bible says old things have passed away. All things are brand new in our spirit. We still deal with this soul realm, this emotional realm, this mind thinking. And a lot of times it's just like they were totally set free to go to the promised land. But they kept wanting to go back into Egypt. They complained against God. They complained against Moses. They were just a bunch of plainers. That's what they were. They just weren't thankful for what they had. They had such an orphan slave mentality. And all the time, God was leading them. God was wanting to lead them. God was desiring to lead them. You know, God was leading them. But all the time, they kept complaining. Let's go back to Egypt. We're going to have some burgers here in just a second. And I want you to play a little clip. This guy was one of my heroes in the faith.
So you wanna go back to Egypt, where it's warm and secure. Are you sorry about the one-way ticket when you thought you were sure? You wanted to live in the land of promise, but now it's getting so hot. Are you sorry you're out here in the desert instead of your own backyard?
This orphan's heart, and they kept wanting to go back into that bondage, the same that Paul was writing about them going back under the law. It's the same premise. They wanted to go back. They kept complaining against Moses. God gave them Moses, and they were complaining against him. Turn to somebody and say, sometimes it's hard to be a pastor. Try it. Hello? It's hard. One of the hardest things you'll ever do. If you're ever called to pastor, it's probably one of the hardest things you'll ever do. If you knew anything else, I remember being in college and the professor getting up and saying, if you can do anything else but pastor, do it. And I thought, sometimes it's difficult. Hello? And but God's good. God's good. Amen? So they didn't celebrate what God had given them. they didn't celebrate all that God had given for them. Amen? They kept slipping back into wrong thinking because they were so used to it. They kept slipping back into slave mentality because they were so, that's all they'd known. You know, you can just slip right back into it if you're not careful and not live in the fullness of a son and daughter. God wants you living in the fullness of a son and daughter, not living in this slave mentality, this performance, this emotional base. God wants you living out of the Spirit with full of life and full of power and full of grace. Amen. He doesn't want you living over there in Egypt. He's got you into the promised land with Jesus Christ. Amen. Wow, Lord, you brought us out here to die. God was watering and feeding them. So, wow, aren't we prone to do that at times? You know, Lord, did you bring me out here to die? You know, we've been set free, but keep going back and limiting God from all that he can do in our lives. Look at Numbers 13. Numbers 13, let's go Numbers 13, 30. Numbers 13, 30. Look at this. Numbers 13, verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let's back up a little bit. Can we back up a couple of verses there, brother, if we can? Back up another one. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness in Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word of them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they said and told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It is truly flowing with what? Milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are what? We are well able. Wow, he said, let us go up at once and possess it. We are what? Turn to somebody and say, you are well able. God has brought you out to bring you in. Amen. God is not leaving you as an orphan or a slave. He's delivered you from that mentality. Amen. You are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the word of promise. Amen. You're not living by your emotions. You're living out of the Spirit and out of the word. Amen. You are who you are in Jesus today. Come on, somebody. Amen. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land though which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants and were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and we were in their sight. Oh my gosh. So they begin to complain and whine and said, look, we're just grasshoppers in our own sight. How are you seeing yourself today? Are you seeing yourself as a son, full of assurance and inheritance, or are you seeing yourself as a grasshopper? Spitting tobacco everywhere. Amen? No, you are a full son in Jesus Christ, a full daughter in Jesus Christ. Amen? How are you seeing yourself today? How are you visioning yourself today? What are you seeing yourself pictured? Are you solid in the Lord? Are you about to fall apart every time? Oh, good preaching, Pastor. Go on down. Amen. So all the congregations lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. Wow. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if we only had died in the land of Egypt. Man, they said, we'd just like to die back there, man. It's that bad, you know? Wow. What a distorted vision. The Bible says, without a vision, people perish. Without that revelation, people perish. Get a revelation of who you are in Christ as a son and daughter today. God has got you. Amen. You are solid in him today. God is so good and so faithful. Why has the Lord brought us into the land? Then they begin to blame the Lord. Fall by the sword that our wives and children should become victims. Would it not have been better for us to what? Turn to somebody and say, no going back. You know, as a pilot, there is a place. Actually, there's a lady one day, and they used to do this at times back in the day. They would actually allow you to listen to the cockpit and the control tower. In fact, I was flying a few years ago, and they had that. You could listen to the cockpit and the control tower and all the directions going on. And they were getting ready to take off, and as they were getting ready to take off, you know, the plane had just lifted off the runway, and the pilot said to the tower, "I am committed." And the lady came up to the pilot afterwards and after the flight, and she said, "Sir, I was listening. I was so intriguing in your conversation." And she said, "I heard as soon as we were lifting off, you said to the tower, 'I'm committed.' What did you really mean by that?" He said, "Well, here's what I meant by that. We're either going to fly or crash at that time because I'm committed. There's no turning back." Folks, you need to have that mentality in your heart and spirit. I am committed. There is no turning back. My mind is stable in the Lord. My heart is fixed in the Lord. Amen. There is no turning back here. I walk in the fullness of the assurance of the power of the Spirit of Christ within me. I am not going back. I am not letting my mind drift here and there. I am solid in Jesus Christ. I am solid upon that solid rock. Oh, amen and amen. Go on down a little bit further. Amen. So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." They had a church split right there. "Let us select the leader and return to Egypt." Let's go back. All right. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the congregation of the children of Israel, and he began to intercede. And Joshua the son and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, rent their clothes, and said and spoke to the congregation of children, saying, "The land we passed through, spied it out, is exceedingly what? Exceedingly good." Turn to somebody and say, "It's how you see it. It's how you view it, man. It's exceeding. Your life can be down in the mud puddle. You can be going through stuff. But you know what? Quit looking at the mud and start looking at the stars." Amen. It's all how you see it. Amen. Get a vision of what God's done for you. Get a vision in your heart of who you are in Jesus Christ. Know that you're well able to go out and possess it and conquer every giant that faces you, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Get off this emotional roller coaster of being here and there and everywhere. Walk in the Spirit on a daily basis and in His Word. Lift yourself up if you have to. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. But get a clear direction in your life and say, "Wow, I am victorious every day of my life. I'm not being fled and led by my emotions. I'm being led by the Word and the Spirit, because as soon as I get up in the morning, I'm in God's hands. I got such security in Him." Are you all still with me this morning? Amen. Drop on down to, you know, they go through this whole thing. God's getting ready to wipe them out. Shoo! That's it. I'm done. Shoo. Let's do it, Moses. Moses interceded for him. Somebody say, "Man, I'm glad for Moses." Amen. Drop on down to verse 34. Can we do that? 1434. 1434. I'm sorry. 1424. I'll get there. 1424. 1424. Is that there? 14, "But my servant Caleb, because he has emotions will cause you to walk by feelings, not by faith. Emotions will cause you to stumble and fall all the time, because they tell you different things all the time. They'll tell you this one minute, that the next minute. You know, this one thing, that the next minute. And then you start attributing that to the Lord. The Lord told me to do this. The Lord told me to do that. The Lord told me to do this. The Lord told me to do that." God says He wants you to be at such a rest and just walk out your life every day as a full son and daughter and enjoy life. Enjoy life. Come on, somebody. "But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the..." God said, "None of them are going to enter my land. Joshua, Caleb, you're going in. And those that are what? 20 and what? Under." Caleb had, what did he have? He had a spirit of faith. He had a spirit and a vision, I believe, of Christ and knew who he was. He wasn't a slave. He wasn't an orphan. Amen. He knew who his daddy was. He saw all that God did for him. Amen. Even there in the wilderness. If you're going through a wilderness journey, look around. God's doing something for you. He hasn't left you there. Hello? He hasn't left you there. God is doing something for you. Romans 5, 17. Let's turn here real quick. Amen. God didn't want you to be in bondage. God wants you to be free. Praise God. Wow. Don't limit God by your thinking. Somebody say, get rid of stinking thinking. Don't forget who you are and where you came from and what God's done for you. Romans 5, 17. For it is by one man's offense death reigned through the one. Much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will what? Reign in life through Jesus the one, Christ the one. Amen. Next verse. Go on down. Therefore, as the one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through the one man's righteousness act, free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made what? Righteous. Amen. Moreover, the law entered, the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, guess what? Grace does much more abound. So it doesn't matter where you came, what you've been through, what's going on in your life, grace is much more abounding towards you. Boy, I love that abounding grace. The abundance, superabundance of grace abounding towards you this morning. Hallelujah. So what do? You receive it into your life. You change your mind. You transform it into what God has said about you. You don't go back to the place where you've already been. There's nothing there for you anyway. You move forward every day in Jesus Christ and receive the new fresh grace for that day. Amen. And you know who you are in Christ. You have such a surety because of the Father's unconditional love and Jesus dying for you and raising up again. Amen, that you walk in that full assurance. You're not emotionally led. Amen. Dragged here and dragged there and dragged out. You just are such at peace and rest. When people see you, they say, wow, man, there's something different about you. What is that? It's Jesus. Amen. Man, you got such a rest about you. Man, I went up to my family here not long ago, and my nephew said, Uncle Steve, he said, they got to understand my family. My family is an emotional wreck, the most part of them. I mean, really? Hello? Anybody have any family like that besides Pastor? I mean, really? You know, I love them, but wow. I bet you in the day goes by, there isn't some drama going on. I don't know about you. I don't like drama. You know what? And I'm for people. I love people. I want the best in people. I want God to do the very best for you. Amen? A lot of people say, oh, you know, this, that. No, man, God wants to do the very best for you. But my nephew looked at me and said, Uncle Steve, you have such peace about you. What is that, man? I said, man, you know, it's Jesus. It's God's grace. When people look at you, they should see that in your life. They shouldn't see this emotional person all here and there. They need to see the reflection of God's grace. And God's grace is always reflecting rest. Amen? Much more. Next verse. So that as sin reigned in death, even as grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, not only is there the bondage of the law, but there's the bondage of sin. But Christ has set us free from every sin. You no longer have to sin. You no longer have to even practice sin. Amen. Christ has set you free from every sin. He has made you now the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You were once a slave to sin. Now guess what? You are a slave to righteousness. I wanted to get into all this morning. I'm not going to be able to do it. You were once, you know, addicted to this. Now you're freed from it because of God's grace. You were once a prisoner of sin. Now you are in the prison of righteousness because of what Jesus Christ has done. Your spirit is born again, perfect, righteous in you. Amen. Praise God for that. You're no longer, amen, out there doing what you used to do because now you've been changed because of God's grace. Stand this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, you can do better than that. God is good. Praise God. Woo! Man, we used to be addicted to some stuff. Anybody ever was addicted to stuff? Two of you. The rest of you are lying. Anybody that's ever addicted to anything? Come on, raise your hand. You're addicted to something? Yes, I believe all of us at some point were. Maybe you were, you know, by God's grace, you were raised in a family, you know, that loved Jesus. And, you know, as a child, you received them very early. And you didn't have to mess with any of that stuff. Thank God. Come on, somebody. Thank God. You know, godly parents, parents that love Jesus, man, and raising their kids in grace, that's an awesome thing. But a lot of us, we went through a lot of junk before we got saved. We had a lot of stuff going on in our life before we got born again, before Christ came into our life. Amen. I want to tell you today, God doesn't want you going back there, living back there. He's got nothing but freedom for you today. He doesn't want you to be addicted to anything but Him. Would you raise your hands this morning? Amen. Say with me this morning, Father, thank you today. You're my daddy. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I am loved by you so deeply. Thank you, Lord. I'm not a slave. I don't have a slave mentality. I'm in freedom. I've been set free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm not living off my emotions, off of my feelings. I walk by faith, not by feelings. I am reassured in my heart, in my mind. I am not up and down, in and out. I am solid because I have the Spirit in me, bearing witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. I'll never have any desire to go back. It's just moving forward. Paul said, I forget those things which are behind, and I press towards the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to me, for your grace to me. In Jesus' name, we love you today. Raise your hands this morning. Just worship Him a second. Father, we thank you today. Hallelujah for your grace, for your freedom today. God, we thank you for the fellowship that is sweet with your Spirit, God. Hallelujah. With your word today. Thank you for the hearts of your people, God, today. You're changing lives, moving on lives. Hallelujah. We praise you for that. Thank you for this food we're about to receive today. The hands have prepared it, God. May we just have a great time fellowshipping around you today, Jesus, and your goodness. You are just wonderful, Lord. Thank you for your love to us today. Hallelujah. Praise God.
It's your breath in our lips. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath.
Let's take one more second here. Let's worship.
So we pour our praise to you.
Lord, we have a different spirit in us. The Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of faith. God, we're well able to go up and possess the land. Hallelujah. God, we're well able. Amen. Every giant in our life is defeated, God. We thank you for that. We're blessed. We're prospering, Lord. We thank you for that today. Hallelujah. God, you're faithful to us. Amen. Praise God. Woo! Yes. Man, you guys are beautiful today. Amen. Hey, what we're going to do is there's some burgers over there. We're going to start. You can get